Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from New York, it's the show that was just flabbergasted.
Well, you were.
I didn't realize it. There is a take coming up in the show within the next hour and 15 minutes, that's just going to knock your socks off.
Better than the Mac versus Trevor take from yesterday?
That one, look, I that worked, though. It got people
That
moving.
Did go viral, it, not for the right reasons, well, but it went viral.
First things first, today, why the Cowboys are sick about Saquon to the Eagles. Meanwhile, Russ tweets, it's a great day to be a Steeler. So the question is, can he carry Pittsburgh to the playoffs? And finally, it's the second edition of the warmest segment in all of sports, King of the Hill. It's named after LeBron James.
Indeed.
There's Joker with a big win over the Celtics alongside Chris Broussard. I'm Kevin Wildes. Nick, any surprises in King of the Hill?
A lot of movement. Again, it's not club superstar. It's a fluid living list. So three people off. Entirely three new additions. One of your favorites.
Shingun is on.
Oh,
Shingun
don't
avoided
spoil
major
it.
Injury, yeah. And he made it. It was a big day for me.
He got a gold medal, makes King of the Hill. A lot to do in an hour.
Doing great. Okay. Yeah, we start with the big news. Derrick Henry, Baltimore Raven, 2 years, $16 million, can get up to 20. Ravens led the league in rushing with 156 yards a game, 15 yards more than the second place team. Henry's 30 years old, bro. But still rushed for almost 1,200 yards and had 12 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
His reaction is Flock Nation. It's up. Your reaction is what?
You left some of that out. You didn't want to read the whole thing?
Well,
I would have loved to hear you read the whole thing.
I don't like it.
What?
Oh, here we go.
I love it!
I love it! He got you.
You always say
he's a bad actor. And
I know,
you guys know. No, I don't, Brew. I know you have an IMDb page.
Yes,
Wild
yes.
is always knocking your acting.
I love it. All right? I love it so much. I thought about bringing out the Jordan 3s and the Versace
Rolls. Yeah, why didn't you?
Because I'm admittedly a tad bit gun shy.
Once bitten, twice shy about Baltimore.
Happened. We got a few months for me to decide on my Ravens pick. But, look, it's a great fit. I mean, Derrick Henry, and I know Nick will scoff.
Don't say you know.
Guess who had the worst offensive line in the league last year? According to PFF.com.
The Tennessee Titans?
It was the Tennessee Titans, and yet he still was second in the league in rushing, had almost 1,000 yards after contact, second in the league to McCaffrey. And even though he's 30 years old, Nick, we've seen Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Frank Gore,
anyone in
Adrian
the HD
Peterson.
Era? Oh, yeah.
Well, Frank Gore. Frank Gore was fairly recent. Adrian Peterson. And so I think he's still got some good years left. And for him to be in an offense where he's like, in Tennessee, we know Derrick Henry's running the football. Yeah. Now you got to worry about Lamar, obviously. You got to worry about the pass game. So I think he's going to see holes that he hasn't seen in years. And this is a team, Nick, and we'll see if the Chiefs, how it is next year. But this past season, if there was a weakness, it's not a weakness, but the weakest part of the defense was the run game.
Yeah.
And so
seems like Baltimore should have leaned on
Yeah, they should have ran a little more. But now they're definitely going to run the football with Derrick Henry. They're going to get a receiver probably in the draft. So
I
like it.
Wild, ask me the question.
Sure. I mean, the question was just your reaction.
Well, ask me the question.
Fear,
ask me with all the teams that sign running backs so I can do the thing.
It's $16 million.
Wild,
for two years.
Again, this is a freestyle. Yeah. Do you think it was smart of the Baltimore Ravens to spend moderately big money
$9 million
and sign Derrick Henry?
No.
It worked if it was big money. It wasn't big. It's 1 year, $9 million.
I look at all of these things in context, right? So it's the second most guaranteed money, I believe, of any running back. Of any running back this cycle.
Oh, this season.
I think, yeah.
Of any fourth season.
Right. And so I think, obviously, Saquon got way more than everybody else. And
he only got $26 million guaranteed.
Right, and which is still, that's way more than any other running back, I'm saying. And so I don't hate this deal. I want to be clear. I don't think it puts them over the top. I think that, as you pointed out, but I want to reemphasize it, this team was first in rushing already, 26 rushing touchdowns on the year. League leader was at 27. Third in yards per carry. They had the fourth highest scoring offense in the league. Their issue, you could argue in the regular season, didn't really have issues, but it certainly was not a lack of a running game. Mm-hmm. If I were running the Ravens, I would have used my resources elsewhere because I think they have real concerns from last season to this next season on the defensive side of the ball because the coordinator's gone and he was excellent and just a lot of free agents, a lot of guys who had Queen gone. We'll see where Clowney goes, but he had a career year. Kyle Van Noy was like, wow, what a year he's having. Yep. Kind of an older player. Free agent. A lot of free agents leaving on that side of the ball. But more, Wilds, here's my thing. Who do the Ravens want to be offensively?
They want to be that, the Ravens.
I don't know.
I don't really think there's anybody like them.
No, well, but the idea, I think, last year was we are pivoting. We are pivoting from a run-first, RPO-oriented Greg Roman system to more of a traditional drop-back passing style of offense, and everyone loved it. Lamar won MVP, even though Lamar's numbers, passing numbers weren't great. People thought it was the best or second best year of his career. And then they lost a playoff game because everyone seems to, not that the Chiefs were better, which I thought, but nobody thought that at the time. They thought they lost the playoff game because they made a strategic error. They threw the ball too much. They put the ball in the MVP's hands. They screwed up by leaning on their newly signed MVP quarterback. And now, to me, this offseason, when you go out and sign Derrick Henry, let Patrick Queen walk out the door, sign Derrick Henry, what you're saying is, we want to go back to smash-mouth running football, which is an odd for a team that just spent a first-round pick on Bateman, a first-round pick on Zay Flowers, spent $50 million on Odell. You just said, going to draft another receiver. Like, what do the Baltimore Ravens want to be? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think they're going smash-mouth. And look, even last
Derrick
year.
Derrick Henry.
Guess who threw the football more than Lamar Jackson? Or Lamar Jackson barely threw it more than Brock Purdy. So he didn't throw. It wasn't like he wasn't throwing it as much as Mahomes and guys like that. So in that playoff game, certainly they threw the ball too much. But I just think this will be a great compliment. At 30 years old, I think he's got a lot left. But they're not going to just be running him 28 times a game. So I think there's going to be a good mix for both of them.
All right, trivia question. Yeah. It's a projection trivia.
Sure.
Ravens leading rushers. This is the list of Ravens leading running backs.
Right?
Yeah. So
right.
They never – a running back never led the league led the team in rushing. Lamar led the team every time. So next year, who has more rushing yards, Lamar or Derrick Henry?
Well, I think it will be Lamar.
Really?
Yeah, because and this is Derrick Henry is going to make
8-10.
I think it's going to be Henry.
Lamar had 8-21, so it was close.
Derrick Henry is going to make the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry is the best back of his generation, if you consider post Adrian Peterson. You know, mini generation. I don't know how you do it. I am skeptical on if Derrick Henry has another great season in it. I understand the yards per carry down a touch. Bruce's point about the offensive line is correct. And it is so – he is already 2 years past the outlier when it comes to wear and tear. That volume of carries – and we saw him have the injury a couple years ago, but then he bounced back and had another excellent year, and last year was good. I don't know that I would call him excellent last year.
But
I thought
he was second in rushing.
Yeah, sure, and he had a dozen touchdowns.
Yep.
I get it. I just think the tread is worn very thin on the tires, and I think Lamar will, as he has to – I think your point of that was every year of his career led the
– So you don't think he's going to get 800 yards?
Well, I don't know. How many carries – let's do it this way. How many carries do we think he's going to get? How many carries do we think he's going to get? We can do the math in real time, right? Like, is he going to get more than 200 carries? Is he going to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you think he's going to be 1,000?
That's just a little over 10 a game.
Yeah.
200 carries.
Okay.
He's going to probably get 16, 17.
So he's going to be their feature, no question, number one back. See, because the Ravens have kind of done it by committee.
Yeah, don't sign Derrick Henry to do. And here's the thing. Look, as good, you're right that Dobbins and just Gus Edwards and whoever they put in there has been productive. But imagine what he'll be like. This is a top five offensive line. Imagine what he'll be like running behind that offensive line again when they can't just zero in on you.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, the read option should be.
Oh, right. It's
going to open that part of it. I just wonder. I wonder what Derrick Henry they're getting, and I wonder how they want to use him. And I'm not sure that they know that right now.
His last game, 153 yards. Yeah. Last game last year.
I think he's trending
and hit 22
LeBron-esque.
Miles an hour almost.
Like, I know the data says one thing. I mean, not in the scheme.
No, I get
of,
it.
Like, great,
I understand what you
but, mean. Like, you know what? Show me the data that I'm really declining. Like, well, you should be declining, but, like, I'm not.
Okay.
So,
also, always
they both have
I mean,
the
I guess,
King thing. You know,
I mean, he had 2,000 yards a few years ago. So, like, there's – and then he got hurt. And last year he had 1,000 yards.
Look at PFF.
Okay.
Offensive line rating.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Who was second to last? Do you know?
No, he doesn't.
No.
Saquon.
I only wrote down what I needed for this second.
Philadelphia. Micah Parsons, not happy, we think. Saquon tweeting Eagles emojis. Saquon tweeting, you know, three laughing so much you're crying and then sickening. You can interpret that however you want. Odds to win the NFC East, Dallas at 1, Philly right on their heels at 2. Then the Giants at 3, although they did sign Brian Burns, so that's good. Then the Commanders, who, I don't know what the Commanders are up to. Brew, do the Cowboys deserve to be the favorites?
No. No.
Really?
No. Now, I'm not saying they're not making the playoffs or anything like that, but Dallas has gotten worse. Dorrance Armstrong, gone. Mm-hmm. Tyler Biadasz, gone. All right, like, who's the running back?
I don't know.
Right now, their starting running back is Deuce, the little guy.
Oh, the kid from K-State.
Yeah, that's their starting
Rico
running
Dow.
Back right now.
I like
yeah,
him.
Well, Dow was a free agent,
sure.
too.
Yeah,
so
I assume
we'll
they'll
see.
Bring him back, but you're right, yeah.
They, right?
Deuce McBride.
Their, Deuce
yeah.
McBride. He's their,
no,
it's not McBride.
Deuce Vaughn. Yeah, Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. He's their starting running back.
Yeah,
Deuce all right?
McBride.
They've gotten worse. They lost their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, who as bad as it looked in the playoff game, it's a good DC.
Yeah, right? That part's true.
And so, and then you look at Philly. Now that, whatever that nonsense
Philly.
They went through last year, it's over.
Why?
I'm declaring it's over.
Based on
so
what?
So they're going to be in a funk? They were in some supernatural funk
I cannot
at the end
believe
of last
you're
year.
In this
Hold
natural
on.
Funk.
Saquon Barkley, again, Miles, he's better than Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift.
True.
All right? Now he's got a better off. That's a great offensive line. He's got a better offensive line. Well, even though they're losing Kelsey, they still are a top offensive line.
Bro.
He's going to be great. You got the great receivers. Okay. You got the quarterback
I'm
to
so
worry
glad.
About.
Coordinators.
Coordinators.
And
what about
Vic Fangio?
Okay.
Oh, let me hold on quickly because this might silence
I'm
you.
I'm
happy
just, that
you
we're
might
back
disagree
with
after
Drew's
this.
Love of these birds.
Well, I'm just saying they're going to
Ravens
be in the NFC East. That's
no, but
all.
They, yeah.
Vic Fangio. Let's see. He was in Denver. 2021.
Yeah, it's great.
Third best defense in the league, scoring defense.
Yeah.
He leaves 2022. They immediately dropped to 14th, and then we saw this year it was a mess. They gave up 70.
I thought their defense
right.
was good a year ago.
Yeah, still was 14th. It wasn't good compared to when Fangio was there. All right. San Francisco, it's going back a little ways.
San Francisco?
But hold on.
When was he?
He goes there. He goes there in 2011.
2011?
Right? In the year before, they were the 16th.
2011.
Hold on.
We all know
can
Fangio's
a brother
good.
Finish?
No.
16th ranked defense. He takes them to second immediately. Last thing, this is a little closer. 2015.
Okay.
We're just,
all right, he's
why
in
you
Chicago.
Like the Dolphins?
Chicago, they had the 31st worst defense in the league in short order. They're top 10 and then number one.
What do you think
about
it?
Did that.
I miss it? I was interrupting you a lot, so I wanted to miss it. I apologize. How was Miami's defense last year? Did you like it a lot?
He did the best he could with a bunch of breakdancing.
Okay. Brew, what did you admit Philly was? by the end of the year.
No, I never
had okay.
They won game. Right. So they were in a funk.
The reason Brew just did that.
They just go win the NFC East. That's all I'm guaranteeing.
Wait a moment. Sure. The reason Brew just did that Christopher Nolan-style time jumps like to confuse the audience was because I think he realized mid-sentence, uh-oh, I'm talking about the Cowboys' losses because they've lost Biadasz and Dorrance Armstrong. When the Eagles lost Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. Mm. And now while Fletcher Cox was not the player he once was, he certainly is a locker room leader. And Jason Kelce was, checks notes, the best center in football still. Yeah, no. And so
now they're going to be a bad offensive line?
No, but Brew, the Eagles were awful the final 2 months.
What about, where was Cox's leadership?
Hold on, wait, Brew. So this is a, you're going to do this?
I'm just saying, you just lauded his leadership. Yeah. Now, I think Jalen's a great leader. All right, but last year, they're going to stay in that funk?
No, they're really not going to win the division.
Oh, the question, you know it's been, how many years since somebody?
Since 2004. It's been 20 years since there's been an
NFC East
repeat. Yes, I
you're going
so.
Back there, too, because this was your team last year in the NFC.
Yes, to win the conference, which I am not saying right now. But the Cowboys' issue is about playoff collapse, not about whether or not they're a good regular season team. Mm-hmm. Philly's issue was the entire building seems to be aflame. The coordinators, they won 10 of their first 11, and then they were the worst team in football for 2 months. We can't pretend that didn't happen. And you guys got annoyed with me when I did, you can do the voice if you want, Wilds, some cap stuff yesterday about Saquon. And then what did we see happen today? Today, you know what the other team in Pennsylvania did? Signed Patrick Queen for almost the exact amount of money the Eagles use on Saquon Barkley. And now I will ask you, do you think the Philadelphia Eagles would have been better served shoring up that back seven of their defense with a linebacker like Patrick Queen or the shiny, awesome toy that is a cool running back? Like, that's why.
Look, that's fine. I honestly would have rather had Queen.
Of course.
And I think Saquon will be really good there, but I think their offense was fine with their pretty good running backs.
Yes.
But Saquon is an upgrade. And I think Fangio, they know something. Because you're right. They haven't been out there signing all these defensive players. I think they will improve it.
Because they don't.
Fangio knows what he's going to do with this
team. They also know that they have limited resources. The GM, surprisingly, against his own history, spent big money on a running back. I don't know. I'm shocked. I thought you had gotten off the Eagles narcotic. I'm shocked that you, after seeing them have a total meltdown the final 2 months of the year and then get embarrassed in a playoff game against Baker, that how many games do you think the Cowboys are going to win next year? Because they win 12 every year. So you think the Eagles are going to be a 12 or 13 win team?
I think the Eagles are going to have a really good season. Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Absolutely. Like
wow. Dallas coming down.
That was bad at the end of last year. But I think when all the offseason changes and moves and getting away from things, that's history now.
Okay.
Because the Cowboys got just as bad with that playoff game.
But the Cowboys was one
But this
three
was
hour
an unusually
period.
Bad playoff
No,
game.
I agree with that.
It wasn't
and
like
the
when they lost to the
was
Niners the year before.
A historical collapse and the unquestioned heartbeat
was
of
bad.
The team on both sides of the ball retired. It seems like a problem.
No. They're going
to
be all right.
Falcons' new quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Now the favorites to win the NFC South. Here's the odds to win the division. Falcons, Bucks, Saints, and Carolina. But the truth of the matter is this. 412 win percentage. Worst in any division. So somebody needs to get to 10 wins. He could win it. So, Nick, who's the better bet to win the division? Kirk or the Bake Show?
Well, I don't think quarterbacks win divisions. Teams do. The Falcons are the better bet to win the division. That is listen, you're trying to trick me into becoming a quarterback wins guy by doing a quarterback division championships guy, and I'm not going to do that. Listen, Tampa overachieved a bit last year, given the fact that they had $70 million of dead money on their books, so they were kind of operating with two-thirds of a roster compared to the rest of the league, and they were still able to not only make the playoffs, but look good in the playoffs. Dog walk the Eagles, and then be right there in that Detroit game, and Baker throws the pick at the end. Atlanta has been having, you know, playing with an arm tied behind their back, and the arm has been the right arm of their quarterback. And so I actually, like, you guys remember last year, I picked the Falcons before the year to win that division because I thought if they just have the 20th best quarterback play in football, they have enough talent. Instead, they had like the 30th best quarterback play in football, and they still were alive late. So I think I think Vegas is correct on this. Atlanta should be a favorite versus the rest of the division. I think minus 110 is a fair price.
Very smooth the way you
what
picked against Baker, but made it look like he wasn't picking
you
against
don't Baker.
No, I'm just,
I like Baker. 50,
ultimate team sport, guys. 53-man roster.
I like Baker, but it's the Falcons. Oh. There's no doubt. They have it exactly right. The odds are right.
Falcons, Tampa could make the division as a wild card. I could see that.
Yes.
Then the NFC, possibly. When you don't have as much depth as the AFC. But I think Atlanta, I don't know that I'd trust Atlanta come the playoffs.
Right.
But if Atlanta,
he's going to put up numbers.
He's going to
Cousins.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers did a worldwide media tour after he tore his Achilles. And I feel like people can argue about whether or not that was successful. But I think overall, he said, I'm going to play so soon. He did raise the bar or lower the bar of how devastating an Achilles is. And I feel like Kirk Cousins, who's 4.5 months out from tearing his Achilles.
Yeah, but
pre-Aaron Rodgers interviews, that used to be a huge deal, and now no one's talking
about
it.
You saw him dancing on stage.
Well, my goodness.
Hold on, but why?
I'm just saying, dancing.
He's throwing the ball on the tennis court.
What day is today?
It's been 4.5 months.
No, I'm saying I'm doing April, May, July, August, September. So if it's been 4.5 months, it'll be 10.5 months removed when the season starts.
I'm
the only one saying, you know what? The guy's 36 years old and he did tear his Achilles.
You're not.
Is anyone going to take a breath and be like, huh? I don't know if I'm going to tie my future to a guy with one solid Achilles.
Wait a moment.
I'm not have to be like, I got to be the mayor of Fair.
So your answer is Tampa Bay.
I'm going to Bay. Show. I'm worried about a guy who's not going to be at 100% health day one.
Can I be very clear? You're not crazy at all. That's not a hot take. And as far as tie my future, if you're asking me if I were running the Falcons, would I have signed them to this contract? I said yesterday, I wouldn't have done it. I understand why Raheem Morris did. And I think there is legitimate reason for concern.
To the point where, like, do you have to do some testing? And it's like, hey, can you?
You don't think they did all that?
Man, it's been
they gave him $180 million contract.
No, can he run faster than Cat Williams right now? I don't think so.
I actually think that some of this is probably absent of full physical because I don't think he could pass the full regular physical right now. Understanding this. So I think so let me be clear here. I think Atlanta's the right bet. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily put a lot of money on it.
Okay,
because I think your point that, hey, we don't know if the Achilles is going to hold up or what he's going to look like, that is a fair caveat. It is still given the talent of the team.
Yes.
Brew loves their offensive line.
Fourth ranked according to PFF.
There you go. Okay.
Well, Achilles.
Where are the Jets? Jets might be that answer to your previous question.
Oh,
31st offensive line?
Well,
second worst.
Achilles have been issues for literally thousands of years. All of a sudden, we don't care. This guy did some interviews. Could Russ miss the playoffs next? FS1 of the Fox Sports.
They're not playing today.
They're playing in 10 months.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tomorrow? Wow, the committee
post free agency.
Wow.
Well, no, we haven't met up yet.
You flew everybody in tonight?
I'll be honest.
Zoom?
Skype.
Skype.
We're Skype.
Take that, Zoom.
Skype. Yeah,
exactly.
The OG. Russell Wilson.
Pittsburgh
one of the committee members is a
Why don't you do it by payphone? Do it by payphone.
Last year,
we gotta see each other.
26 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, but averaged just a hair over 200 yards a game. He tweeted out, it's a great day to be a Steeler.
Okay.
I think he is going to try to check out some catchphrases.
Yeah.
He's rolling this one out. Like, see if that one sticks. Well, Greg Jennings is here. We'll start with you, Nick. More likely Russ makes or misses the playoffs?
Misses the playoffs? I feel like I am in a land of crazy people when it comes to Russell Wilson commentary. It is so, sorry, I almost fell. I get very excited talking about these things. It's so, there is a clear line of his career. His first 9 years, never missed a game, never for the quarterback wins, folks, was below 500, and made a bunch of Pro Bowls. The last 3 years has missed time every year, twice for injury, once for getting benched for Stidham. Has, for the quarterback wins, folks, has never been above 500 and is averaging 220 yards per game passing and doesn't run like he used to. And has had one coach say, okay, we'll move on from you, and another coach say, I will pack your bags and pay an $85 million mover for you to leave. And now we're like, but is this the time? No, this isn't the time. Mm. And so when I look at the AFC, Greg, in no particular order except for the first team, Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami. I'm going to say this team, you guys are going to yell at me, but they were 8-3 playing for the one seed until their quarterback got hurt, Jacksonville.
I believe in that.
That's seven. Okay, that's seven teams. And then the Chargers, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh would be 8, 9, 10. And so am I saying it's Mike Tomlin, it's the Steelers defense. I like the addition of Patrick Queen. Yeah. I respect Tomlin. Am I acting like it's an impossibility to make the playoffs? No, but if I got an even money bet, will Russell Wilson and the Steelers make or miss the playoffs this year in the AFC? I would take miss.
Look, this is tough because I don't know if my teams exactly line up with you. Buffalo, Kansas City, obviously. I think the Chargers are getting in.
Oh, wow.
They should.
With Harbaugh. Houston or Jacks, one team from that division at least. Then Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's what, six?
That's five.
I didn't even. Oh,
that's five.
Okay.
You haven't said Cincinnati.
I didn't say Cincinnati.
Yeah. Miami.
Cleveland, I know.
Where you're
Cleveland
from.
And Pittsburgh. I mean, it's just that division, I don't see any way they can get three teams in. And so.
Not again. Not this year.
Yeah, they did it last year.
I think I feel confident saying Russ will play. I think he'll even play better than last year. Now, he wasn't great last year, but he was solid, and the numbers were better than he played.
He lost his job because of his play last year.
Yeah, no, it's because of the contract. You know, it was because – so they don't have to lock him up longer term.
Yeah.
That's if he wasn't making that money, he wouldn't have got benched. So he was okay. I think he'll be a little better this year. You're right. Now that they're at Queen, I'm like, man, they're going to be really tough.
Yeah.
But I just – looking at this, man, it's hard to put them in the playoffs. And I don't want to agree with you because I disagree on Russ and
right.
how
you
good
still
he'll
believe
be.
In Russ. You want
but it's just hard to say right now that they're going to definitely be a playoff.
Yeah, so yesterday I said it was a question mark as far as Russ and will he thrive with the Steelers. I'm with you. I think they miss. And it's largely because of what we're looking at. I mean, when you look at just their schedule, they play, obviously, in the toughest division in football. So they're going to beat up on one another. And then you play the AFC West.
Mm. Well, that's not that. Two teams.
Though. I mean, yeah. you got those teams are still going to fight.
And the Raiders. Will,
and then you have the, who is it? The Jets, Colts, Falcons. So I just don't know.
That's the easiest part of the year.
But I just don't know, watching what happened this year, them getting in with three teams in that division,
right,
beating up on one another, and like the NFC East is the other one. I'm like, they have a tough road in front of them, and can Russ be better than a lot of the quarterbacks that's going to be on the other sideline? I don't think so.
There we go. So this is a question that I have with Russell Wilson. What exactly was the problem? So he leaves Seattle. It's like the idea is like he wanted to do more. Like, okay, you get to Denver. You know what the problem was? Nat Hackett, rookie coach. He kind of wanted Aaron Rodgers. That didn't work. And then after Nat Hackett leaves, like, well, you know what? He wanted an office, which everyone thought was ridiculous. I think it's fine. But it's like an
attitude
problem.
That's just because you're the only one of us here that has
can have an office.
My God.
$200 million, you can have an office?
Bro, do you have an office?
Do I have an office?
You have an office. You're
office.
The only one.
Regardless.
Go ahead.
You wanted a parking
spot. And don't
spot.
Think there haven't been conversations.
And then finally, it's like, well, Sean Payton didn't believe in him. So Warren Sharp tweeted this, Greg, on that he just can't throw the ball anymore.
Oh, through 27% of his passes.
Well, when you throw 27% of your passes behind the line of scrimmage, it's the highest percentage of over 500 quarterbacks in almost a decade. 62% of his passes within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. It's number two of almost 500 quarterbacks in a decade. So is his arm shot?
What is the
reason why he doesn't? And just final thing, and I'll throw it to you, Greg. I listened to his podcast with Brandon, and I was trying to, like, suss out what it is. He's like, it just didn't work. Like, I never got a real diagnosis on why the last 3 years of his career have kind of torpedoed.
I will say this, like, I love those numbers, but when I watch players, I did it myself. Like, there comes a time in your career where you really know where you are, but you're unwilling to admit it and say it out loud. Period.
Like early washed?
Everyone feels like, man, I think I lost a step. Or if something happens in over the course of your playing time, if you have the luxury of playing an extended period of time to where you realize it's different. It's not the same. And when I look at Russell Wilson, can any of you tell me what does he do well right now?
The lollipop deep ball. Yeah, that's it. The moon ball. But can I?
How many times do we see it?
Right. And so can I jump in on this real quick? So there's twofold. One is I said it last year, that and it sounds dumb, but I know I'm right. He was playing a selfish version of quarterback. He was playing quarterback in order to protect his touchdown interception ratio, not to make the best plays available. And that's what those numbers back up. To your other question, which is what happened to him, I actually think it makes a lot of sense what happened to him. Three, four years ago, he said, I want to expand.
Right.
I want to do more than I'm being allowed to do. And his coaches in Seattle were like, you're not able to, buddy. He's like, I am able to, you're wrong. Give me a chance to go prove I can. He went to try to prove he could. They were right, he was wrong. What also happened during that time, he lost 8, 10, 12% of his athleticism. And that was, go watch any of the great Russell Wilson highlights you've ever seen. 75% of them. The guy's running around like crazy, making amazing plays off schedule. He can't make those anymore. So he gets sacked all the time. He still has the moon ball. Like, I don't think he is at you, but his athleticism, he lost just enough athleticism to go along with the fact that he tried to do more, and now he's a worse player than he was, as a worse athlete than he was, in a system that is not familiar to him. Well, that's what happened.
I think that that's there's some good analysis there. Let me ask you this, Greg. I think, and even when he was great, he was not an on-time quarterback. He was, as you said, off schedule. And Peyton, I think, Drew Brees, you want on time. So I think that, and again, I don't know if he was playing selfish brand because he's never thrown a lot of interceptions. Even the bad year was, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions with Hackett. So and I don't know, I can't guarantee it's going to be different in Pittsburgh, but I don't think he was a fit for Peyton, which is one reason Peyton didn't like him because he's definitely not on time, even when he was great.
That's a great point, but I think at this stage in his career, what Nick is saying is correct. When you have lost what made you a difference maker, when it doesn't look the same, I don't care how off script you are, you can't extend plays the way that you once did because you don't have the same athletic ability. It just looks different. It is different. And to your point, I don't think it's crazy when you talk about him trying to protect his numbers.
Because he knew he was getting fired.
He knew it.
That's why I didn't even kill him for it. He knew from the beginning, this Sean Payton's going to get rid of me, and I don't want to not be a starter anymore. So I have, at the very least, have to protect my numbers. Like the Broncos had to protect their salary cap by benching him when he probably shouldn't have been benched because they didn't want him to get hurt. Like, everyone's protecting themselves.
You said that, I'm like, that makes sense, because he knew.
I'm about to get fired, so I want it to, you know, the resume to look good.
Check in on the AFC West. Raiders.
This is the comedy portion of the show.
Sign Gardner Minshew, who can play.
Let's go.
To a two-year, $25 million deal. Meanwhile, the Broncos are looking at signing Zach Wilson.
Really?
Okay, great.
Who has done well historically in the
Zach Wilson now?
Mountain time zone. Nick, does this strike fear into your heart?
What do I have written there, Greg? Can you
poverty friend?
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine. Can you imagine waking up this morning and hearing the Denver Broncos, who the next 2 years have the sixth highest quarterback cap hit for someone who's not there? They're inquiring about Zach Wilson. Can you imagine poor Hubs Raiders fan who's like wakes up this morning and is like
Gardner
Minshew to the rescue?
Gardner's
all right,
good.
Listen, I think both of these teams, you know what their plan is? praying they have the opportunity to draft the fifth quarterback off the board. That's the plan. So, listen, either way, Kansas City, we don't have a banner for it, but congrats, Chiefs, you're 4-0. Yeah. Like, oh, both these teams beat you last year. Chiefs are – Mahomes 22-3 against these two teams. That was before they had a Minshew potential Zach Wilson quarterback
Minshew,
duo.
Man.
Minshew is what, Wilds?
Minshew can play a little bit.
Give it a number.
Of what?
He's the what ranked quarterback in the league. Give it a number.
I'm not giving that a number.
Give it a number. Come on, you're supporting him. Give it a number.
At his best?
Gardner Minshew.
11th.
Okay. All right.
When he's at his peak.
Oh, okay.
When all he shows up in jorts.
Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise, probably 20.
What him?
20th.
Can you imagine?
20. I don't even think.
All right. Do we have time to talk about Jameis? I'm surprised Jameis didn't go to the Broncos. A little Sean Payton reunion.
Yeah. He missed out.
You know, we're going to discuss in the commercial break. Check out the podcast. I always tell you to check out the podcast. I thought that would work. Check in on the Bears, who still have the number one pick and still have Justin Fields. Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson saying, you know what? We're actually pretty good. Take a listen.
It wouldn't be mature of us as a locker room not to rally together in spite of having Justin leave. I know what it would do to keep him here. I know how we would feel with him here. But, I mean, I feel like just at the end of the day, we'll all have our opinions, our emotions. But as far as the locker room staying together, I think we have the right guys in the locker room to keep everything together, to keep us together. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all here to win.
Okay. Here's Justin Fields' career as a starter last year. It's always under 200 yards a game, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Also had 4 rushing touchdowns. So where do you want to see Fields week one, bro?
Well, first of all, I think Jalen Johnson, his attitude is right on the money. Mm-hmm. Like, we like Justin, but we can't let that stop us if he's not here. Look. There's only one team left that really is kind of in the market for a starter if we assume, you know, the Patriots and other teams are drafting somebody. Denver. And I know he and Sean Payton don't look like a great fit, although Payton did like Taysom Hill, running quarterback. So
running tight end. Taysom Hill.
I would like to see him in Denver just so he gets a shot to start. And then, if not there, the Giants. Ooh, behind Daniel Jones, short leash on Daniel Jones, if they're already out on him. If he's struggling through the first 4 or 5 games, let's put Justin in and see if he might be our guy.
He's where I want to see him. He's on the team that I feel like should keep him and should trade the pick. I know this is anti-Nick right now.
Well, go ahead.
Might have a heart attack because of Caleb Williams. But this is a guy that they have never – given him what you would give a first-round quarterback in terms of support. He hasn't had an offensive line. He just got a number one wide receiver for the first time last year, didn't have a running back. Mm-hmm. Like, he led the team in rushing. Like, you don't have a plethora of skill guys. You got DJ Moore, and it started to kind of click. He missed 4 games. Like, I just feel like for the first time, you have the opportunity to build around him and support. I get it. There's a lot that the fans may know, or a lot of fans don't know, that's going on with the Chicago Bears as far as new stadium and all the things, and you want to sell and all. And Caleb Williams is, quote unquote, a lock until he's not.
Okay, can I ask you a question, though? So you said they should trade the number one pick. Why? Like, you think they get a lot for it?
Absolutely.
Like 3 firsts, maybe? What right now, what's Justin Fields? Is people offering 3 firsts for Justin Fields? They're offering 2 firsts for Justin Fields. They're offering 1 first for Justin Fields. Or is anyone offering a 3rd round pick for Justin Fields? So take my feelings out of it. The whole idea of the logic behind keeping Fields and trading the pick is wrapped in this fact. The pick is incredibly valuable. Because there are multiple teams across the league that view him, forget what Nick Wright thinks, view the number one pick, which would be Caleb Williams, as this amazing asset worth.
No, but we also thought that about, to Greg's point, that's what they had it because they thought that
was about Bryce Young. The number one pick universally, you're going to try to acquire at least. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter who is at that pick.
No, I agree because they got it. To your point, the reason they have it is because of the Bryce Young draft, which could have been the C.J. Stroud draft. They had listened to Brew, but set that aside. Mm-hmm. But no, it'd be one thing if it was like, man, we have on the board from New England the 34th pick offered to us for Justin Fields. The whole league has said, right or wrong, we don't want him as our starter. So the Bears, in my opinion, don't. I do not think they have the option of, in consecutive drafts, having their choice of quarterback, and in consecutive drafts, passing on that to stick with a guy that evidently they're the only team in the league that they would want as their starter. The Giants, right before we went on the air, was it Drew Lockdust? The Giants signed a quarterback, right? Because that, Brew, that is, you and I were like-minded again. I put the Giants fight, you know, battle with Daniel Jones. We saw Dable get a lot out of Daniel Jones this healthy year when he was running and Fields
and
better
runs
athlete.
Better than Jones.
And so, but we are approaching last house on the left territory. Like, if Minnesota doesn't draft somebody, go there and compete with Darnold, like, that's, His best case right now, Wilds, is competing with somebody.
Or, Greg, do you think there's any chance Chicago holds on to Justin Fields and sits Caleb for the season, Patrick Mahomes style?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. You got to do one or the other. You're going to – obviously, you can trade the pick and get a lot of assets from that and then build and support the guy that you're going to presume be your franchise guy. I totally see why – Justin Fields is not beloved or attractive to all these other teams because he hasn't been. What the one thing we know he can do is run the ball. Get
you
out
feel
of the
like he's been done wrong.
I just,
and he almost deserves
do you think,
better.
Do you think yes. he can be a star?
I absolutely do believe he can
you,
be a
gotta
star.
You got to at least think
I
that.
I do.
Because Caleb could.
It's the exact opposite of what the Baltimore Ravens decided and made a choice to do with Lamar Jackson. Mm. As far as we're going to support who he is right now. They knew he wasn't a passing quarterback the moment he jumped into the National Football League. But what they did say is we're going to feature what you do well. The Bears have never even done that.
That's a good take.
I think he's been done wrong. I also think they have to draft
Caleb. I know.
Yeah, I mean,
he has been done wrong, but
you got to draft
him.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's the freshest and warmest segment on sports. It's King of the Hill.
Oh, it's warm?
Yeah, it's springtime.
Oh, okay, nice.
We're trying to do a winter thing. This
I
is like
it.
A springtime.
Yeah,
thing.
We're still a work in working. Progress.
Afternoon headline sponsored by Ram Trucks. They are built to serve Patriots. Signed Jacoby Brissett to a one-year, $8 million deal. I love this.
Second-best quarterback there in the last 20 years.
Odds to win. Wow, shots at Cam Newton. Odds to win the AFC. Buffalo at one. And the Dolphins, Jets, and then the rebuilding Patriots. I like that. 1,700? Any chance the Patriots surprise anyone at the table? Anyone?
Well, they're going to – yes, 100%. They're going to really surprise you when they're the worst team in the conference. That's going to really surprise you. What?
We were the worst team last year.
Yeah, but you don't think that's going to happen again.
No, I
don't. You believe in the Patriots.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, do you believe? You remember when I coined the phrase, defense wins championships? Is our defense good?
You just lost the greatest defensive mind ever, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, who'd we replace him with? His protege?
A linebacker.
Caller me not scared when we replace one guy with the other guy. Okay, so we're going to have a great defense. Gonzalez is back. We just signed Uche, so I feel good about that. We have Jacoby to come in and sort of steady the ship. And I think Albert Breer had a great tweet that was like, Jacoby is your guy when there's like the rough waters.
I like Jacoby.
Whether it was like the Brady suspension, Deshaun suspension, Andrew Luck retiring. Like, he's the guy to come in and be like, it's okay, I'm here. Whoever we draft, I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, comes in, learns behind Jacoby. Jacoby gets it. Solid leadership, and we're good. And finally, Josh says, in the last eight years, one rookie coach has made it to the playoffs. Once in every last 8 years, one rookie coach has made it to the playoffs. So,
yeah, that'll
that's
be the Falcons probably this year.
rookie coach.
Fair enough. So I just have a quick question. Who's your favorite Patriot offensive player?
Right now, Pop Douglas.
Okay, so Pop Douglas.
Yeah,
I like
him a lot.
So, Brew, do you agree
Kendrick Bourne's back
that
too,
if
everybody.
We include short and long term, the Patriots are the most hopeless team in the conference? Like, their only hope is that either this is a historically great quarterback draft class or one of the two teams in front of them makes a mistake. That's their only path. Their only path is that the third quarterback taken ends up being a star. Yeah. Which means, right. And so
you need a star quarterback.
I mean, Denver is pretty bad, but
you have Sean Payton, so you feel a little bit more the Jets long.
We have $100 million, and they're going to $85 million.
What are you spending it on, Wilds?
I don't know. We're being prudent. This guy. Oh, don't get this guy. Don't get this guy.
Yeah, because my team has awesome players. Prudent. Your team. You just said Pop Douglas was your
Pop
favorite
Douglas
offensive player.
Pop Douglas
is he?
Good. That's why. Yeah, he's excellent.
Okay,
actually. He had some concussions. Okay. But he's okay now.
Go ahead.
I've been trying to tell you this since I've been a host on this show.
Go ahead.
It's over, man. And I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to see Gerard Mayo succeed.
Yeah, he's going
to
be well.
But they're about to go in a playoff drought.
We're in
it's
a playoff
already
drought
started,
right now.
All right?
It's been 3 years.
Saying,
we're trying
this
to
is how
a
it
long
works.
Time.
It's been okay?
2 years.
The
you
Steelers.
Don't count the Mac year, but you should. It's been two. You've missed the playoffs just 2 years in a row.
I know, but 3 years since we won.
Will you listen to the evidence?
I'm sorry.
Maybe this will convince you. After the Steelers had that great run in the 70s, they only made the playoffs four times in the 80s. After the Niners had that great run in the 80s and early 90s, from 1999 to like 2010, they made the playoffs twice, okay? And Dallas, we know after they won their Super Bowls, it was about 20 years of mostly mediocre play, a couple decent seasons. This is what you're headed for. It'll happen to the Chiefs when Mahomes leaves, but it's about to happen to y'all.
Wilds, I'm actually optimistic.
Let's go. Oh. Let's go.
To what? We're six games? Seven games?
I just feel like there is no place but to go up.
Thank you.
Okay.
Like, I'm optimistic, and I'm sincere in saying this. Like, I believe that what is happening in their division, I don't know what the Dolphins are doing. I'm sure they have a plan, but they're losing a lot of pieces. The Buffalo Bills, I mean, I'm kind of out on the Buffalo Bills.
Love it.
The Jets, never been in on the Jets.
Wow.
It's 17-1. I'll give you 18-1
right
now. Are we
going to win the AFC East? Wow.
I'm not saying they're going to win
the playoffs.
Love it.
I'm not saying any of those.
You think we can make the playoffs?
He's saying win six, seven games.
Did anyone think the Texans could make the playoffs?
All that to about six or seven wins.
Rookie head coach. Live from New York, it's the show that is still a work in progress. We're trying out some new things. It's a second hour of First Things First. Today, Prediction Week rolls on. The Western Conference, even though no team is beating Denver in a seven-game series. Meanwhile, how will Derrick Henry fundamentally change the Ravens' offense? Well, we'll see. But right now, it's Tuesday, March 12th, which means it's time for the NBA segment that is a rich tapestry of history, potential, and performance. Now, some people call it Mahomes Mountain NBA edition when you had the snow. That's not what we're calling it. We're calling it, and it's named after LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's why we have the crown here.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And a hill.
Hill.
We have a hill.
NBA King of the Hill.
You know the other reason, Wild?
What?
King of the Hill, you know this. You're a big basketball player. Bruno, that's a game people play and pick up basketball. King of the Hill, King of the Mountain, you know, like
it's called King of the Court.
King of the, yeah, exactly.
You play it on a hill, though.
No, you don't. But again, we're trying to make it work. So, all right, rules same as Mahomes Mountain, maximum 28 players, seven row mountain or hill as it is. But people fall off.
Oh.
It is not a slippery mountain.
What is it?
It is more of a dew-covered hill.
Dew
and you can slip a bit. So, we have our first people off the hill. Listen, Tyrese Maxey and Trae Young, they've been out. They've been hurt. They haven't played. And the hill can, you know, be fickle when it comes to who is punished for injuries and who isn't. But Maxey and Trae fall off. Bam's played, just hasn't played well. And Miami's not only lost three straight, they lost once to Washington, which counts as three losses. So he's off. All right, seventh row. Donovan, again, he falls due to his absence. PG, Paolo, and Kyrie stay where they are. And welcome to the hill.
Let's go.
Zion, Sabonis, and Wilds' guy, Şengün. Shout out, Şengün. Now, it might be a short-lived stay on the hill because he is dealing with an injury.
It's okay,
but
happy to be here.
He got a gold medal last week. He had the best game of his career. Mm-hmm. He was able to avoid major injury. He makes the mountain. Pels have won four straight, and Sabonis has been playing great. Row six, Jaylen Brown moving up. Jalen Brunson moving down. Again, not Brunson's fault, but he has missed some time due to injury. Murray, Fox, Booker, and Halliburton stay exactly where they are. And it's nice to see Halliburton turn it on a bit in some spots. He's had a rough stretch. Fifth row, Steph drops due to injury. Jimmy drops for the same reason. What Bruce looks
no, that was my suggestion last week.
Okay, oh, yeah, and good job. Drops. And oh, his suggestion was Jimmy. Jimmy drops. They've lost three in a row. Like I said, the same thing with Bam. You lose to the Wizards. Miami, I understand that you really turn on come the playoffs. You got like 20 games left. You don't want to be the 9 seed. I win some games. Dame time. Dame, 31-8. 50-46-96 split since our last version of the Hill. So he moves up. Kawhi and AD stay where they are. Fourth row, Tatum had a rough week. LeBron had a great week, but there's not room for him to move up. Anthony Edwards didn't really have a great week, but he had such a great moment within the week, the block, the 44-point game, trying to keep them afloat without Karl Anthony Towns. He moves up. Shea and LeBron stay where they are. All right, third row. Now, let me say this about Joel Embiid, because we've moved a lot of people down because they've missed a week or two. Embiid's missed quite a bit of time. However, he's the defending MVP. He's averaged 35 a game this year. And if I'm going to have him anywhere on the Hill, it has got to be up there. So it's a weird thing. I understand it's not totally consistent.
The rich tapestry.
Luka, thank you, Wilds. Luka, just, 37, 11, and 12 seemingly every night. And then there's Kevin Durant, who was already having a monster year, who if he was just shooting better from the free throw line, he would be a 53-43-90 guy. Instead, he's 53-43-85. But in the last week, he's averaging 38.7 rebounds, 5 assists on 54-47 splits, and just seems to be damn near as good as ever at 35 years old. Now, this part of the Hill last week was controversial. We do, Brew, have some movement.
Oh.
Last week, if you remember, Giannis was at the top. Giannis moves down.
That's fair.
So Giannis moves down. Now, luckily, Brew, he overcame writhing in pain the Achilles and didn't. We thought going into the Hill last week, Giannis could
wincing.
Be out weeks. Wilds meant wincing, said writhing. And his numbers have been great, but since the last edition of the Hill, they did lose by 35 points. And they lost by 35 points to the Lakers, who is a team Nikola Jokic has not lost to, I think, since the bubble or thereabouts. It's been quite some time. So that means the very top of the Hill is vacant.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean it's going. What, were you big surprised? You thought there was someone we had forgotten?
I know, but now it's official.
So I am not saying, and we have, and again, we have predictions week continuing in the next segment. But you guys know I already picked Milwaukee to make the Eastern Finals. They have a two-time MVP, a one-time champion, a one-time finals MVP. Denver has a two-time MVP, a one-time champion, a one-time finals MVP. I wonder if those two people could meet in the finals potentially to fight for the euphemistic crown that always sits atop LeBron James's head, but maybe for the king of the NBA Hill. But right now that top spot is vacant.
So are you saying it's going to remain vacant?
I'm certainly not saying that. Again, the Hill is like, a rich tapestry as Wilds has said. But right now it is. I couldn't pick between Jokic and Giannis. Last week, we put Giannis atop. This week,
well, my source, Wilds, tells me it's left to right.
Again, it's not.
Again, the committee is Wednesdays. This is just me alone watching poker on TV and reading, and scouring.
All right, not a bad mountain, Nick.
Thank you.
Jokic, I think, should be on top. But I'm going to focus on SGA.
Okay.
I would switch. You're right, Kevin Durant's having a great year, but guess who's having an even better year?
Wow.
SGA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Switch SGA and KG.
KD also.
KD, I'm sorry. So here's why I say it. First of all, he's averaging more points than Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant's claim to fame, obviously, is scoring. But SGA is even scoring more, averaging 31 points a game, second most in the league. And assists, SGA averages one more. Rebounds, KD averages one more.
Sure.
SGA even a little bit more efficient from two overall, but not from three. But, Nick, SGA also leads the league in steals. He's the only player in the NBA with two or more steals a game, and that's on a team that's a top five defensive team.
Good defense.
So he defends. He is a good defender. One thing I like about these two young guards, him and Anthony Edwards, both of them defend. So I love that. But that's the first reason. I think individually he's been a little bit more impressive. The second thing is this, Nick. They are the top seed in the West. We know Phoenix is the sixth seed. Now he's the top seed with his second leading scorer, Jalen Williams, a second-year player. And then his third leading scorer, Chet Holmgren, a rookie. And then Lu Dort is like the most senior starter with 5 years in the league. Giddey's like in his fourth year, I think. So they are a young team. He's got them as the top seed in the West, which we know is a great conference. And Durant, now I get it, they've had some injuries.
Yeah.
But you got a perennial, you got a superstar in Devin Booker with you. You've got Bradley Beal. I know he's been banged up, but he's an all-star. Mm-hmm. Nurkic is averaging a double-double, and there's nobody on OKC who's near a double-double. And so I think with that veteran-laden, talented cast, KD isn't lifting them even close to as high.
So that's interesting because you're totally right that Booker's got more name recognition, accolades, and is a better player than anyone else on the Thunder. I think the Thunder are a better – takes SGA and KD off their teams. I like the Thunder way more than I like the Suns. So I don't look at it like SGA is raising –
I think
he
if you switch KD and SGA, I don't think OKC's as good.
Oh, really?
Really, yep.
Oh, see, and I think that, and I think the opposite. I think that OKC is just as good, and I think Phoenix is in, I don't want to say trouble, Phoenix would be fine. Phoenix is probably in a similar spot. So, and again, I want to be clear here. I think SGA is a legitimate MVP candidate. I think he's been great. I just think the rest of the Thunder, because they're young and because they don't have the accolades, in my opinion, you're discounting them. I don't want to say discounting
them. They're not bad. They're good players. I'm just saying the youth. That's unusual for a guy to take so many young players. He's young himself, but taking so many young players and being the number one seed.
I'll meet you in the middle, bro. Why don't you leave KD where he is on the hill? Move Luka down. Switch SGA with Luka.
Wow. Oh,
just call me old-fashioned, everybody. And I know he won Player of the Week, and they've won 3 games in a row. Since the All-Star break, the Dallas Mavericks are 5-5. And you might say, well, wow, so let's look at their numbers. Well, Joker, Giannis, and Luka. Ideally, the top three guys on the hill. Points, Luka, rolling. Rebounds, still pretty good for Luka. 11 assists is excellent, too. Win-loss, 9-1 for Joker. 6-2 for Giannis. He missed a game, but they still won. And 5-5 for Luka Doncic and the Mavs. You might say, hey, how's their defensive rating since the All-Star break? Good question, Brew. Dead last. Dead last. Now, is that like a scheme thing? Is that just bad luck? I'm not saying we're going to grind the all 10 later on, but this is simple stuff. Second chance points, they're 23rd. Fast break points, the 19th. Defensive rating is 121.
You're blaming Luka for their second chance points they've given up? That's on Luka. This is –
What's up? What? Nothing's on Luka.
The fact that you're 5-5
is not on Luka.
Some of the defense – but hold on. I have a question for you, Brew. I usually get to ask Wilds this on Wednesdays during NFL season. This is King of the Hill. What is this not?
The USA Today power rank.
Or the standings.
Are we looking for complete players or not?
No.
He's one spot above Giannis, who gives 100% on both sides of the floor.
He's not.
He's above SGA, who gives 100% on both ends of the floor. Luka scores points.
First of all, the Mavs lose,
and it's like, what's going on with the Mavs? The other guys that he's passing the ball to are shooting 87%.
Two points.
Play some defense.
2 points. One is, and again, I'm not disparaging SGA, but are we sure SGA's steals are real steals, or are they like Jordan in the 80s home cooking steals?
Oh, shots at Jordan. We're done with the 90s, dude.
Your buddy Pablo Torre did a great expose on that with Tom Haberstraw. I look forward to more on it. Wilds.
Yeah?
Since the last edition of King of the Hill.
Yeah, 3-0.
Have the Mavs lost?
No, they're 3-0.
Is Luke averaging a 38-point triple-double?
37.7, 10, 3, and 11 assists.
Okay. And you want me to move him down based on this week? They're undefeated by your metric of team wins.
Well, so I think the Pelicans have 4 wins. I don't see Zion flying.
Zion did make the mount. He made it. He got up there.
I didn't see him.
He was at the bottom.
Play some defense. You're dead last.
I'm busy looking at Shingun.
Dead last, bro?
The defense is bad.
You think?
I just need Luka to show a commitment. Fake it. Make it look like you're trying to defend.
It looks like he's trying. It does. It's just not working.
Time. For West predictions, everyone, it's predictions week. Spoiler alert, Denver are the favorites and no one's beating them in a 7-game series. But we're still going to do the segment. What?
No, just the I'm surprised all the time. I'm not as locked in on the like day-to-day odds when it's not football season. Like I look at the betting lines in football all the time.
Clippers?
Brew, are you surprised that it is that, I don't want to spoil your pick, But the Broncos, the Nuggets are 185 and the Clippers are plus 240. I'm just surprised
that it's that close.
I'm very surprised. That it doesn't seem like they think Denver's overwhelming.
No one, because I walk around and I take the pulse of sort of the sports world. No one would take the Clippers. No one is going to be fooled by James Harden in the playoffs again. Brew, let's start the segment off with you.
Well, I'm going to give you my Western Conference Finals matchup.
Great. Yes, please.
And the one team that I have in it, yes, Brew's Clippers. That's right. I said it. And I'm being calm about it, but I'm saying it with my chest.
Well, it doesn't.
I'm just being calm about it.
But
that means you're not saying it with your chest.
The Clippers in the Conference Finals.
Who lost seven games in a row.
Here's the thing. Now, obviously, they need to stay healthy, as do all these teams. Let's just keep it real. But Ty Lue, and I think Nick may agree with me, he'll out-coach every coach in that conference except Mike Malone and Steve Kerr.
I think he might out-coach every coach in that conference. I think he might be the best coach in the conference.
Those two are good coaches, too.
Yeah, they're all champions.
It's not going to be like a decided advantage.
Yeah.
But Ty Lue is a great coach.
100%.
And makes, you know, great adjustments in the whole nine. And I think so many of these teams are equally matched, evenly matched, that I think that could be the difference.
Yeah.
And so I like the Clippers. They got great depth, you know. So I think this is their year to get to the conference finals. They've been there once before under Ty Lue. But I got them facing Denver. And I got Denver winning the West, Denver beating the Clippers. And here's something, because you kind of alluded to it a little bit. And you did, too. There's this stuff going around on social media. We're done with the 90s.
Yeah.
Obviously, shots at Michael Jordan. All right.
No,
but here's what I got to say.
It's a whole era, man.
The Denver Nuggets, who obviously, if they win this championship, this is a little bit of an era for them. Be like a little mini dynasty. They are an example of real, like, team basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They got one star. They got one all-star. All right, it's not even like they got one superstar and another all-star. They got one all-star. And a lot of times people look back at the 90s, it was a time when teams had one or two stars, not three. They didn't have super teams like the 80s and then like the LeBron era. You just had Drexler in Portland and Malone in Stockton in Utah and Kip and Payton in Seattle and Barkley in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so, but those are good teams. You don't have to have three superstars to be a great
team.
You need a team that makes sense. Yes, the team that makes sense. Guys fit together. Everybody knows their role and enjoys their role and excels in their role. And that's what Denver is. Now, ironically, if I'm right, you are going to have a kind of a throwback team with one star versus a super team.
Hmm.
And I think
And by the way, I wouldn't call the Clippers a super team.
Because they're a little older, but they, you know.
If you were to have all of those guys at their peak,
yes,
that's a super team.
But Paul George on the
downslope. When they came together, sure.
All right, so don't reveal mine yet, because Wilds has swayed me, and the evidence has swayed me, and the playoffs last year swayed me, about the inevitability of Denver. But they've got to play somebody.
That's true.
So I just going down. The Clippers, I do not believe in them, flatly. I do not believe that James Harden is going. One of the reasons people believe in him is because of the boost James Harden gave him. I do with seven times bitten, eight times shy for me when it comes to Harden. I'm out. OKC, the youth is concerning. Phoenix, much like KD's time in Brooklyn, it's like, wait, they've played how many games together with the big three? Mm-hmm. Minnesota is already dealing with an injury. My goodness gracious, we're running out of teams. Golden State, you know that I said they can't do it. Who am I leaving out?
Sacramento. Where's the beam?
I love the beam, and I love the Kings. Sabonis in the playoffs has a little Rudy Gobert factor, which I know they're wildly different players, but he has not proven to be a playoff performer. Now I'm really running out of teams. Dallas, you know I do not believe Kyrie Irving contributes to winning if he's not alongside LeBron James, even though Kyrie's been a good citizen. And now, what'd you say?
It's Kyrie's fault.
Not the defense.
No, I'm just saying I wasn't a believer in Dallas the moment they got Kyrie, and I've stayed, what do they call me, Wilds?
Mr. Consistency.
Right, and so we've eliminated all the teams. They have to play somebody. I guess it's 2023 all over again.
Short series.
Nuggets over Lakers.
A close
in the conference
series.
Finals. Who knows? I'm just saying Nuggets over Lakers in
what
the conference finals.
What do you think
finals.
That series looks like?
What?
If not, the, if I the mean, Lakers play
say
Denver.
It, say it.
Let's see. I got to see how it goes.
Because you've been saying it.
I mean, Nuggets in six.
You've been saying it
six?
In so, six?
Six. Six, they should put up another banner. They should put up another
next
banner.
Like, IST
we
banner?
Won two games
all right,
from Denver.
You have the Nuggets playing themselves?
No, I am playing the Thunder. I
the
sneak
Thunder?
In. Yeah, I believe in the
they,
Thunder.
I guess they're going to avoid the Lakers.
No, not Chet, but yeah, that's the problem. The Lakers own the Thunder, but the Thunder own the Nuggets. So
the Thunder on the Nuggets?
They've beaten three.
Well, then why are you not taking the Thunder?
Because come playoff time, they're too young. But still, I give a lot of credence to the standings. I know we don't love USA Today here, but I like the standings. Question for you.
No, you go further. Go in on the Nuggets.
Everybody knows that no one is beating the Nuggets. And the fact that you had the Lakers playing the Nuggets, which they'll get swept again.
I don't because know they will get swept. It's hard to beat a team 11 times in a row.
Maybe they win once.
It's hard to beat a team.
They probably would get one.
Exactly.
They probably
but you're in a tricky spot.
Why?
Because if you have this matchup, the Nuggets are going to dispatch of the Lakers so easily. And the Bucks, who do you have, Bucks Heat?
Yeah.
The Bucks are going to be locked in, and the Heat's going to give them all they can handle. Denver is going to be fresh as a
daisy. You
know
that's going to give us an opportunity? The super rare NBA version.
Russ versus Russ.
Russ versus Russ. Your favorite conversation.
They're going to just dispatch
your favorite combo
of the Lakers.
Well, we'll do our final picks tomorrow. Maybe you've swayed me. Maybe I'm going to pick Nuggets over Bucks.
Who do you have?
No,
you and me.
I got Celtics Nuggets.
And then?
In the final. Tomorrow we'll make
that. We just saw it. We literally just saw it. You know, if you missed today's show or you want to take it on the go, I know you're thinking, oh, man, I got to drag my TV all the way down.
Oh,
street.
Bringing that one back.
Yeah, wrong. We've got a podcast. You don't even have to watch it. Also, our YouTube channel has been excellent. Tomorrow, Brew's ballot. Brew has an official ballot. You will not be beholden to these for your official ballot. I think that would be against the rules.
Right.
Just in pencil.
And our finals pick.
At this point, absolutely in pencil.
And our finals pick.
Yeah.
We're all taking Denver.
Medals time. You don't know that.
I'm saying we should.
Okay.
Spurs Warriors. Trace Jackson.
Wow, why's he got to do your guy Wimby like that?
That's a solid effort. Pop was
Wimby
fired up.
Wimby had like eight highlights you could have put in here.
This is the best highlight of the
one
night.
Of them, he
you know what it was?
Stole it and
an
dunked
offensive
on him.
Foul someone online pointed out.
Bronze medal.
Okay.
Luka, 27-12-14, also known as his worst game in like 10 days, and a 35-point win over the Bulls, but Wilds wanted to move him down the hill for reasons
held
that
the Bulls
I still
to 92.
Don't understand.
You should have highlighted that.
Silver medal, Kevin Durant. 37-8-6, exactly what he's been averaging the last week, but Brew wanted to move him down the hill for reasons I don't totally understand. Joker, 35-17-12, and I actually, honest to God, was locked in on this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors were in total control until Joker decided, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just going to what he did in the third quarter in the beginning of the fourth. Spectacular as the Nuggets end up rolling, and there is the medal stand from last
You've
night.
You really come around.
I mean, you know what they call me?
Oh yeah,
the most honest
Joker
man.
Joker should
in
be on top
television.
Of the hill.
That's true.
All right,
didn't
come
all the way around. But when you start talking about him, you can't help but
he's great.
Spit facts.
But gosh,
Derrick Henry
Speaking
headed to
facts.
Baltimore. Brew, does this get the Ravens closer to the Super Bowl?
Yes, closer. I mean, look, I'm not predicting anything right now, but they're better. Now, I know I hate to lose Patrick Queen on defense, but Nick, going into last year, they lost a lot. We thought their defense was a question mark,
yep.
And obviously it wasn't. They lost, taking nothing away from the Chiefs, but had they run the ball last year, and you're going to run it with Derrick Henry, they lost because they didn't run the ball. They got away from that. And two, just foolishness and immaturity. All right, with Zay Flowers and the unsportsmanlike conduct things, I think they'll change
You should
all
pick
that.
Him again.
He's
I would, too. It was really good.
Speak is next.
It's possible. We'll see.